Good morning. Going to be an interesting morning. We're going to try and divide it up into three different sections. First 10 minutes we're going to spend on Thanksgiving, because it is Thanksgiving weekend. We have lots to be thankful for. We're going to have the music team come back and give us a little bit more praise and worship through their music. And then I'm going to do a presentation of the Mexico mission trip that I went on about a month back. Thanksgiving. As I just said, we have lots to be thankful for. It's always good to draw a little bit of a contrast so that you can fully realize what we are thankful for. I want to start off with asking a question, and I'm going to ask for a little bit of participation from my audience as well. Question: is there anybody here who have ever experienced thirst? I'm not talking about after a sports game or whatever being thirsty and then go and have a drink. I'm talking about days with a lack of water. Anybody? Anybody who's experienced hunger? Nobody. In the world today, there are more than 1 billion people who have to live with less than $1 a day. $1 of income a day. There's more than 1 billion people. Some 800 million people in the world do not have enough food to lead a healthy, active life. 800 million. There are about 30, 35 million people in Canada. 800 million people do not have enough food to eat. That's about 1 in 9 people on the earth. Sub-Saharan Africa is a region with the highest percentage of population of hunger. 1 person in every 4 is under malnutrition. Poor nutrition causes nearly half, 45% of death in children under the age of 5. 3.1 million children die every year of hunger. Don't we have a lot to be thankful for in Canada? 66 million primary school-aged children attend classes hungry across the developing world, and 23 million of them is in Africa. They go hungry to school every day. We can use the same statistics looking at clothing, looking at housing, looking at work. I would say that we in Canada, we in the developed world, is really blessed if we look at our circumstances. We are blessed. But we do not always recognize and realize how blessed we are. And because of that, we sometimes waste. We look at our government and our country. We live in a country with a stable government. We have a high degree of freedom in many areas of life. We have a well-developed economy, a well-developed financial system, justice system. We have good medical care and a reasonable social care system. We are at peace and would like to see ourselves as peacemaking people. Sure, there are many areas where we feel we can improve, and even change, and there are for certain some decisions taken that we do not agree with. But in general, we have to agree that we should be thankful for our country and for our government. Looking at relationships, I think most of us have friends. I think most of us have good friends. Scripture says a friend can be closer than family. We can be very thankful for our friends. An area where we can really give thanks. Family. We all grow up in family. We don't have the privilege of choosing our family. But I think that we have great families in this church. And as a church, we are thankful for our families. We are thankful for mothers and fathers who take care of their children and who raise them up to know the Lord. We can be thankful for our church and our relationships that we have within our church. And as a church, I think we are thankful for our families again. We are thankful that we have families that want to serve God, that want to dedicate their time to God and to the ministry of serving God. We are thankful for the leadership in our church. We are thankful for those members of our church who are committed. We are thankful for the ministries of our church and how it brings praise and glory to God. Then we come to an area where we really have to express our thanks, and that is in our relationship with God Himself. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the area where we can truly express our thanksgiving. I want to read a piece of scripture Isaiah 49 and from verse 1 to verse 7. A very interesting piece of scripture. This was written 600-700 years before Christ came. Was written by Isaiah. So Isaiah was the medium that was used to convey this conversation between Christ and God Himself. This is Christ speaking, making a plea to the nations. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, He spoke my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadows of His hand, He hit me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in His quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him and gather Israel to Himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, and my salvation may reach the end of the world or of the earth. Christ expresses with a heart full of sorrow. This is 600 years before he came. He expressed his failure to bring and to lead Jacob, Israel, back to God. But he expresses also his comfort in that his reward is not in Israel. His reward is with God, with the service that he rendered. And God says, no, no, it's not the millions of Israel that you alone had to call. It's the billions that lives on the earth. It is the Gentile nations that will hear the message of salvation and that will come. And Israel will come too. It's not only Israel. We are blessed in this world that Christ have labored and not labored in vain. But his labor was rewarded by God through leading the Gentile nations to salvation. What a privilege we have. Last question. I actually want some answers from you guys now. What are our blessings in Christ? Christ labored. What are the blessings that we experience in Christ? Anybody? Just a short one. Forgiveness. The church, his body. Any more? Eternal life. A relationship with God being restored. Yeah, peace.
His presence with us.
Emmanuel. Our hope is in Christ. Our salvation is in Christ. Our inheritance is Christ. Christ is our priest, the one who presents us before God. He's our mediator. His presence, Christ is our brother. We are his body. We can rejoice in that. I've asked Alan to come and pray for us, to give thanks. But just before he comes and before the music team comes up, I want to summarize what I've said and bring it into perspective of being thankful. Some thoughts. As a consumer of resources, of food, water, clothes, whatever resources God has given us, I should ask myself, do I take for granted the water that I use and the food that I have? And is this displayed in a trail of wastage left behind? Am I grateful when others are in need? Do I express my gratitude towards God for his provisions in my life by sharing what I have? Or should I concentrate more and be aware more to share what God have given me? What kind of friend, dad, mum, brother, sister, grandpa, grandma, am I? Am I one that encourage? Am I one that support, that respect, that love and protect in my relationships with others? Or are these areas I can improve in or change in? As for church life, We can ask ourselves, what kind of follower of Jesus is I? Am I a demanding, self-centered, critical onlooker? Or do I truly place Christ in the center of all my actions and my relationships? How can I follow Jesus more closely and more obediently? Those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. When we express thanks, is it just words or is it actions? Let's make it more actions and not just thank you, but let our actions speak of thank you. Alan, please pray for us. Trip to Mexico. The function of this part of the service is to encourage the members of WBC to participate and to be actively involved in reaching out. Why do we reach out? That's the question. Why do we go on mission trips? Why do we get involved with outreaching programs? Three things. It is God's plan, it is Christ's command, and it is our calling in the love of Christ. God's plan. God reached out to the world lost in sin by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, if God did not reach out to us, we would still be lost. John 3, verse 16 and 17 reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Matthew 28:16-20. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And John 13, verse 12, "When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' He asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have sent you, or I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I, in the first place, would like to thank Westminster Bible Chapel and thank the members of the church for supporting me on going on this mission trip, supporting me with prayer, supporting me with encouragement, and also supporting me financially. The bake sale was a great display of support. I really appreciate that. I'd like to just give you the program that we went through on this mission trip and then show you some photos and a video of the trip. We left very early on Saturday morning. The flight left Bellingham at 5 o'clock. So we left here in the early morning hours to get down to Bellingham. We flew down to San Diego through Seattle. We arrived there, was around about 10 or 11 in the morning, pick up two vans, and we drove down. It's about a 2.5 hour drive down to Ensenada in Mexico. In the afternoon, we spent buying food for the week, mostly food for our afternoon meal and our breakfast. The evening meals, we have somebody local who prepare food for us, and then we contribute some money towards her mission. So we bought food, and then we practiced our VBS. The Sunday morning we went to church, very similar to our church setting. We have family Bible hour, and then the Lord's Supper. The translator who translated for us while we were there. The church is the church where the people that we built the house for were members. So they were supported by this church. And then the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, we went for a swim in the lovely Mexico ocean and had a barbecue next to the ocean. So we started off this mission trip with a very good time. That's normally how it is. You only start working on the Monday. Monday morning, we broke up into two teams. One stayed at the compound where we live, and this team's job was to build the walls. We prefab the walls, steel studs, and drywall. We also prefab the roofing structure. We do that at the compound. The other team went to the site where they prepared the ground and poured a slab that this building was going to stand on, a concrete slab. So that takes up the whole of Monday, the full day. Tuesday morning, we got back into being one team again. Everybody goes to the site. The walls go with. We start erecting the walls. We put up the roof. Start putting in some drywall in the ceiling, preparing the outside of the building. Halfway through the day, a group breaks away, and they go do a VBS with some of the kids at a church close to the site. We had about 25 children showing up that first day, which was great. Wednesday, another full day, we start putting on the stucco on the outside of the building. Now the building is standing, the windows are not in yet, the doors are not in yet, but the building is standing. We got some steel mesh on the outside, and so we can start putting on the stucco on the outside, finish the electricity on the inside, put in the ceiling, and start putting in the doors and the windows. Halfway through the day, the full team stops, and everybody goes to the VBS. We have a Bible school. This time we had about 30 children. Had a great time with them again. Did some crafts and a Bible message and singing. One of the guys that went with us is fluent in Spanish, so he could do the VBS. And then we return to the site and do as much as we can for the rest of that day. At least finish the stucco, the first layer of stucco. Then on the Thursday, we go in as a full team again. We put on the second layer of stucco. We finish the drywalling, mud and tape on the inside, and by the afternoon the house is standing. We are done. So then we have a meal with the family at the house. The family and some of the church members prepare a meal for us to give thanks. We hand them a Bible with everybody signed in. This time we didn't give them the keys because they had the keys for the house already, because they were living in half of the house. We were constructing the second half this time. And then on the afternoon, the Thursday afternoon, we go for our final VBS, where we have really pull out all the stops. We entertained them, and it was very privileged and very good. We had a lot of adults. We even had some of the parents attending this, so it was a great opportunity to share and to witness. Friday, we worked at the compound that where we are living in, and we worked at the missionary's home. We did a lot of fixing up that stuff that was just getting and needed done. Early Saturday morning, we woke up. We left there very early, traveled back, try and get across the border, because that's always the challenge. It's about an hour, hour and a half to get across the border from Mexico back into the States. We spent some time in looking around, shopping, enjoying ourselves a little bit on the Saturday afternoon, and then we flew back on Saturday evening and got back home after 12. We landed in Vancouver and enjoyed the time here. Travel. It's always a challenge sitting between an Irishman and a South African. Carl was calling for help all the time. So that was on our travel down there. This is what the area looked like where we worked in. This is a view from the compound where we stayed. This is the site where we built the house. The three people standing in the background there, that's the three people that we built the house for. Okay, this is where we start building the house. Material is arriving, a dump truck full of soil. There we are laying the foundation of the house, pouring a concrete slab. You can see that the house that is standing there, that's the part that we built last year. So we've now just taken off the wall on the outside, and we're going to build another similar part on this side of the house. Mixing some concrete, pouring the slab. Now the walls are going up. No windows and doors yet. Putting in the ceiling and doing the drywall work on the inside. That's what the house looks from the outside. Steel mesh is up. We're getting ready to start doing the stucco. The windows and the doors are in now. After the first layer of stucco, they scratch coat it so that the next layer can stick. This is the opportunity to do artwork. My name was Yogurt, not Gert. That's what the house looks like. This is what we leave them. The painting of the house, doing the inside of the house, that is left up to the owners. You can see they have already painted the outside of the first layer that we left, the first house that we left there. That is the team that did build the house. Great guys. Fun to be with. These are some of the people that we met there. Going out for ice cream, you always get a chance to meet some of the people. This guy claimed to be an ex-police officer, but he wasn't interested in us for that reason. These are some of the children that we met at the VBS. You can pour concrete and hold little children. Yeah. These are some of the foods that we enjoyed, and some didn't enjoy it.
They got good hamburgers. Fried hamburgers. Ice cream every night. Good for your heart too. Good entertainment. I won't show that video, Vic. Good entertainment. This is some of the fun that we had. This is how far they could get. 3 bottles. And they were very scared of that. And then another guy walked in and put a full bottle on top. Look at the faces. This is the team photo just before we came back. We traveled there and we traveled back wearing our t-shirts as a witness. And these are the friendships we formed. He was a very shy guy, so I welcomed him in. His name is Jonathan. Vic, the video, please.